There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Where do I even start? As well, from the beginning, right? As we get going on another edition of Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next hour plus, coming up at 1 o'clock, Cam Marston with What's Working special edition. But this hour, I'm going to be spending the first half talking about the press conference that just ended a little bit ago with Governor Ivey, and now the safer at home order, from stay at home to safer at home. And all the things that come with that. It must be, you know, I just thought about this. It must be frustrating to governors in inland states, states that don't have beaches. They don't have beaches to close and reopen. They kind of get jealous of, like, the state of Alabama, or Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Florida, Atlantic Coast, Pacific Coast. Huh? But yes, part of this does involve beaches. We'll hear from Governor Ivey, then we'll hear from Dr. Scott Harris, who has been kicking a new look for the mask. It's what I'm calling casual mask. Has his mask hanging around his neck while he's giving the press conference, so you can picture that. Looks like he's ready for some maybe a sailboat race or a game of bocce ball or something like that. He's jauntily hanging around his neck. His mask, it's a good look. So we'll get into this. So the governor now making the announcement, and we'll give you the links on our social media platforms as well to see the color-coded chart we're using in Alabama now. The red light, which we're still in red light, that's stay at home. Then starting on Thursday, we go to yellow light, and that is safer at home. And then safer apart is green light. That's the goal we'll get to, hopefully sooner than later. All right, so from just about an hour ago, Governor Kay Ivey and a little bit of the explanation of safer at home.
Reopening Alabama's economy is certainly not as simple as flipping a switch or snapping your fingers. Like any good leader should, I have sought counsel from many avenues and received many, many recommendations. In fact, these are just some of the many reports and suggestions that we've received in the last few days, from the Small Business Commission to each member of our congressional delegation in Washington. These suggestions are very broad and included many different scenarios, but I truly appreciate every one of them and the hard work and partnership that they represent. The seven members of the Executive Committee of my Coronavirus Task Force are here with me today, and these folks have been diligently working to help me incorporate these ideas into the plan. This Executive Committee, led by my Finance Director, Kelly Butler, has recommended to me a thoughtful, well-planned timetable on how we can open our economy back up. On April 30th, our current stay-at-home order will expire. Issuing this order in the first place was not something I did lightly, and it was extremely difficult to tell businesses to close their doors, but it was done out of a need to get a handle on the spread of this virus. On March 13th, I originally issued guidelines, strongly urged recommendations, you might say, that if we all just did our part, then hopefully that would have been enough. At that time, I spoke about my reluctance to issue a stay-at-home order because I've always known that if the government kills a business, Washington can't print enough money to bring it back to life. I offered a solution that was based on the information we had at the time to slow the spread and to mitigate the once predicted hospital surge. Folks, I believe that all business is essential and truly regret any suggestion to the contrary. No matter the size, if you are conducting commerce and providing a paycheck, you have tremendous value to our state. On March 13th, we selected a list of specific businesses to remain open based on their risk of spreading the virus due to specific functions. Our intent was never to pick winners and losers, as some have wrongly suggested. We entered a safer at home recommendation on March 27 that we hoped would eliminate the need for a stay at home order. But unfortunately, it did not. For that reason, we enacted a stay at home order on April the 4th due to the continued spread of the virus and the fear of hospital surge. As of this week, we no longer believe our hospitals will see an overwhelming amount of ICU patients who need ventilators as we once believed, and that is sure good news for sure. While we have not seen a decrease in the amount of newly diagnosed COVID-19 patients, we have seen stabilization, a leveling off, if you will, in the amount of cases. Like everyone else, I look forward to easing back into our routines with caution. Just like we eased into this current stay-at-home order, we will also be thoughtful and careful as we ease back into our social interactions. Today, I am announcing that we'll once again enter a safer at home order that will still require social distancing and urge our people to continue taking all health precautions necessary as some people will return to the workplace. And while maintaining focus on our personal health, it's now time that we also focus on our economic health. And this too will be a thoughtful, methodical process. My fellow Alabamians, I am pleased to say that because of the efforts during these unprecedented days, we can roll back many of the restrictions that have been placed upon certain social gatherings and businesses. On April 30th at 5 p.m., our safer at home order will go into effect. All individuals, and especially vulnerable persons, are encouraged to exercise personal responsibility in slowing down the spread of COVID-19 by minimizing travel outside the home. You will be urged to wear face coverings around people from other households when you leave your house. Obviously, no one's going to arrest you if you don't, but it's just good, sound medical advice, and it's for your safety as well as for the safety of those with whom you come in contact. You are also urged to continue proper hand washing and other common sense hygiene. All non-work related gatherings of 10 persons or more, or non-work gatherings of any size that cannot maintain a consistent 6-foot distance between persons, are prohibited. However, some top level changes in this new order are as follows. Employers should take reasonable steps for employees to avoid gatherings of 10 persons or more, to practice social distancing and make strong efforts to disinfect their office space. Under this less restrictive order, all retail businesses will be allowed to open with a 50% occupancy rate and not allow customers to congregate within 6 feet of one another. Our state beaches will be open, providing people abide by social distancing and the gatherings guidelines. And the mayors of our coastal towns have assured me they will take the lead and be proactive in enforcing the gathering guidelines. Elective medical procedures can resume if providers take reasonable guidelines from their state regulatory boards or CDC guidance. My fellow Alabamians, let me be abundantly clear. The threat of COVID-19 is not over. We're still seeing the virus spread, and all of our people are susceptible to the infection. The greatest disservice for the people who might be watching me here today is to think that by lifting the comprehensive health restrictions, that this must be a sign that there's no longer a threat of COVID-19. Folks, we must continue to be vigilant in our social distancing both today and for the foreseeable future. And I encourage everyone to practice productive teleworking if possible and be as innovative as you can as you open your workplaces. Ensure you're taking every precaution while getting back to work. It's certainly been a challenging month for sure, but better days are ahead of us, I'm sure of that. And I just want to thank the people of Alabama for being disciplined and patient as we move into what I hope will be a better season for our state.
Okay, let's do this. We'll run to the news update, then come back with some of the Q&A and some addendum pieces here to the Safer at Home order. Goes into effect on April 30th, that's Thursday, at 5 p.m. It would expire May 15th. If you use the governor's chart here, we're on yellow light at that point. Right now, still on red light, then we go to yellow light, hopefully on our way to green light. Be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, as we carry on this hour, a few Q&A from the media. Folks like me, I guess, media. From after the press conference from Governor Ivey, and also joining us here in just about 14, 15 minutes, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl will talk about the governor's press conference, plus the letter he sent to the Attorney General of the state of Alabama, Steve Marshall, asking for the state of Alabama to sue China. He'll tell us more about that coming up in just about 12 minutes. All right, let's do this question here about people defying the orders, right? As soon as you have the discussion of safer at home, which, by the way, as you heard, Governor says, retail stores will be open subject to 50% occupancy rate. Social distancing and sanitation rules apply. You have things that are not open. Things like, we talked about it earlier. I guess maybe that was on Twitter. The churches are still not open. Entertainment venues such as nightclubs, theaters, bowling alleys not open. Barbershops, salons, haircut joints not open. We'll get to that in a second. Athletic facilities and activities such as fitness centers, commercial gyms are still closed. Close contact services still closed. And here's the governor being asked a question about a salon that was planning to reopen in defiance of that order.
Governor, we just received word that at least one business in the Birmingham area has decided they're going to open tomorrow a salon. What is the state's response going to be to businesses that decide to defy your state? That's the new order that you're planning to suffer.
I didn't hear all of your questions.
We received word that there's a business in the Birmingham area that's planning to open Friday. It's a salon, even though they're on this list that must remain closed. They plan to reopen anyway. What is the state's response going to be to those that decide to defy this order?
Well, these are orders that if they're violations, they are subject to a $500 fine, et cetera. So I would encourage them to rethink that strategy.
Governor?
Yes, sir.
Governor, where do funeral services fit into these new orders? Funeral services?
That funeral services are still limited to no more than 10 people, 6 feet apart.
So there's so we got salons and funerals in that last question. Let's go to a question here about the beaches, which, by the way, the beaches will reopen Thursday at 5 in a limited fashion. There are no gatherings of 10 persons or more, and people must maintain 6 feet of separation on the beach, which I've said for like folks going out there beach fishing or something, that's probably pretty easy for them. How will this be enforced? Here's the question.
How will that be enforced on Alabama's beaches, the social distancing now that are going to be open starting Friday?
Well, the order that goes in effective April 30th at 5 p.m., will be enforced by the local officials down there, the mayors of each of the coastal towns and the Baldwin County Commission for Fort Morgan, et cetera. They have assured us, we've talked to them yesterday, And they've assured us that, yes, they will enforce the procedures, and because they want the folks to be able to come back to the beaches, too. It's in their best interest to keep them safe. So I think we've got a good deal there.
Okay, so it's up to the local officials. That would be like, you know, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach. It would be Mayor Collier on Dolphin Island to enforce those. I want to jump back a little bit, too, for in between the questions and when the governor finished up, State Health Director Dr. Scott Harris chimed in and get a little bit of that comment.
Four walls of the hospital and have not needed the alternative care sites that we had prepared for. So all these things are very encouraging to us. We've mentioned more than once to you about the White House gating criteria for moving to a phase one opening of the economy. We have met two of those three gating criteria. We have not met all of those criteria. We feel good about the criteria related to symptoms, the criteria related to hospital capacity. We have yet to meet the 14-day sustained decline that is recommended in those guidelines. And I would say for that reason, we are not proceeding to the full phase one opening consistent with the White House plan. The White House plan suggested opening entertainment venues and gyms and restaurants and a number of other things that we're not doing at this time. But we do think what the governor mentioned to you earlier is exactly the right approach. It's a very gradual and reasonable way for us to safely get people back to work and get the economy going again. And we will continue to monitor the case numbers that we have. And as people get back to work and get back out in public again, we certainly hope they can maintain the things that they need to do to keep us all safe and healthy. We believe that a gradual reopening makes a lot of sense, but as Governor Ivey mentioned, this really is up to the people of Alabama to keep doing the right thing, as they have been doing so far. I have appreciated so much the efforts that I've seen from people. So many folks have really done their very best to make sure that they're keeping themselves safe and keeping their family members safe, and we realize that that has been done at great personal cost for many of them. And so even as we open things back up, we need to continue to ask Alabamians to work with us, to continue to do things a little bit differently for the future. We, as the governor mentioned, we are going to recommend that people wear face coverings like this or like those that you can make at home when you're going to be out in groups of people that you're not related to or when you can't maintain a 6-foot distance between people. For a number of reasons, this was not an order, but this is a very strong recommendation, and we think it's the right thing to do, and we want all of you to do that. This is the mask I wore in the car on the way up here, and this is what I wear when I go out for takeout, and I would encourage all of you to do those sort of things as well. Most importantly, please remember that we need to protect the most vulnerable people in our society. We have seniors who represent about 3/4 of all the deaths that we have seen so far. But we have a lot of people with chronic disease in our state, people with diabetes and with heart disease and with lung disease. And we know that those people are much more likely to do poorly if they're exposed. So please keep that in mind, even if you don't feel that you yourself are at risk from this disease. Please think about your loved ones, think about those that you care about, and try to protect them as well. We know that we have a ways to go to get completely back where we were, but I think we're moving in exactly the right direction and exactly the right speed. We know there are some close contact professions out there that we have not addressed today. Those jobs where people literally put their hands on their customers are certainly a risk category that's different from other types of businesses, and we hope to be able to address that very soon. We know people continue to have a lot of questions about that. I'll be glad to mention to you later, if you like, about what we're doing around testing and contact tracing. We
might be able to get to that in a second. I do want to ask this question. As you heard Dr. Scott Harris speaking, did he say that he wears his mask when he was in the car on the way to the... Maybe he was with other people. Maybe that was it. Maybe he had other people in the vehicle. That's why that went down that way. Let me run through a couple things here from the list from the governor's office, and I've linked this through on the Twitter feed, and Dalton I probably already has it up on our Facebook page as well. But in the recommendations here, there's some recommendations and talks about non-work-related gatherings. Of course, that kind of came into the discussion about reopening the beach. The question, like I've been back and forth on Twitter for a second about churches reopening. I said churches were not reopened, but people said, well, what about drive-ins? Yes, the drive-in services, less than 10 people, that's fine. So, but other than that, the churches remain closed on this. Let's see. And then on protections for employees, this came out. This is something I imagine we're going to talk about going forward. I'll make sure that Cam Marston sees it when he gets in here next hour. Says part four here, protections for employees, effective April 30th, 2020 at 5 p.m. And unless otherwise permitted or required by this order, all employers shall take reasonable steps where practicable as work duties permit to protect their employees by A, avoiding gatherings of 10 employees or more, B, maintaining 6 feet of separation between employees, C, regularly disinfecting frequently used items and services, D, encouraging hand washing, E, preventing employees who are sick from coming into contact with other persons, F, facilitating remote working arrangements, and G, minimizing employee travel. Now, some of those are pretty common sense things, but some of them, you would not want a sick employee coming in at any point. And if you, you know, you hopefully are disinfecting the surfaces there and encouraging hand. I guess we'll just, hey, Dalton, wash your hands, man. Also, maintaining 6 feet of separation between employees. I don't know if you could, at all places, can do that, but that's some of the guidelines laid out in where we are now, this safer at home. So if you didn't catch it at the beginning, what Governor Ivey has said is it's not a full reopening of the state. We're going from, and I'm using the chart here provided by the governor's office, we're going from red light to yellow light, hopefully on our way to green light. And that goes into effect on Thursday, April 30th at 5 p.m. and expires May 15th. So hopefully that means they think it May 15th. Might move to the next level. But right now, during this safer at home, that's what this is called, safer at home, some things are opening back up, in retail stores opening back up at 50% capacity, but there are some things that are not opening back up. Entertainment venues, nightclubs, theaters, bowling alleys, athletic facilities and activities such as fitness centers and commercial gyms, close contact service providers such as barbershops, hair salons, nail salons, tattoo services. You see that, Dalton? The thing is, tattoo services, not tattoo parlor, not tattoo shop. Tattoo services is how they talk about it here. Coming up in just a couple minutes here, we'll be joined by Jerry Carl, Mobile County Commissioner and also candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary runoff. Talk to him about this and what he asked of the Attorney General of the state of Alabama. Talk about that next. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. A lot of text here. I'm trying to get back with y'all on the text. But Ben and Daphne says, my question to the governor is, where is your mask? You know, people were asking that during that presser. Scott Harris had his mask. Yeah, but Ben, Dr. Scott Harris had his mask around his neck, but it wasn't over his face, right? So, as I said earlier on Twitter, he had it jauntily hanging about his neck. Like I said, it looks like a kind of a good look, like you're ready for a sailboat race or some bocce ball. It's the new look. It's casual mask out there for the governor. I don't know. All right, let's do this. I mentioned before the news break, we check in with Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for the AL1 Republican primary runoff, Jerry Carl, joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Sean. Thank you. Great to be with you today.
Hey, good to have you on right now, too, as we're all trying to interpret what just happened with the move in Alabama from stay-at-home order to coming up on Thursday at 5, we go into safer at home. What does that mean for the county? What does that mean for you?
You know, the way the county is set up, obviously, that law will be, quote-unquote, applied within the county. But we really have no enforcement ability to do that. I mean, we just don't have the manpower or the people to go in and write tickets if a barbershop or a beauty shop opens up. It's just not going to happen. And I think the city is going to have some problems with that, too. I am encouraged that the governor has done something. I do not want to downplay that. This is a tough time to be a governor, and there's tough decisions being made. But I really think what we got today wasn't enough. I think we should have loosened up a little bit on the restaurant. At some point, place, and time, Sean, we as individuals have got to take responsibility for our actions. And if our action is to cut somebody's hair without any PPEs or any gloves or anything, you know, anything to protect our clients are going to quit coming in. So,
right.
I think it's a wonderful time for the business community to step up and do it. We've just got to get them loosened up to do it.
Now, okay, but you talk about these businesses that are still not open under Safer at Home, and yours, if I understand you correctly, a kind of a pragmatic answer to that you do not have in the county. So we're talking about law enforcement in the county, the sheriff's department. You do not have enough people to enforce that.
Yeah, we don't have manpower. Neither does the city. I mean, last week I know there was a blow up with the barbershop here in West Mobile. Great guy. Everybody knows him. I've met so many people I've talked to that have their hair done there. If that had not hit Facebook and been really pushed out there, I doubt anyone would have said anything, because no one would have really known that they were open. Now, is that right? I'm not here to judge that. I'm all for getting the businesses and getting us back to what I consider to be a normal life. I think we've got to get back. We've got to get back to work. We've got to get people spending money. We've got to get, because the taxes feed the system. And this system will run out of money sooner or later if we're not feeding it, and we feed it with sales.
Yeah, and one business around here is dependent on another business, whether you're looking at a municipal, county level, state level, or national level. Small businesses need other small businesses.
And look at the restaurant industry. I mean, the McDonald's, the chain groups, the groups that are actually set up, thank God we've got them, because we can get somewhere to go at lunch. Where they can do curb service. But think about the restaurants downtown that do not have, never have had curb service. They're impossible for them to, especially some of the high-end restaurants. It will take months for them to rebound, because they're dependent strictly on tourism traffic and convention traffic. Of course, downtown business folks, of course, but it's going to take a long time. West Mobile, I mean, I think you'll see things in West Mobile bounce back real quick. But we got to get them open. We have to give them a chance to be responsible for their actions.
Yeah, I want to say this with indifference. Like you, I'm glad something has happened and some loosening is going to happen here on Thursday. But I do worry about the restaurants, and I know they're probably different, different kind of restaurants, different margins. But I know the few people I know in the business I've talked to over the years, margins are pretty narrow. And if a business is a restaurant's having, narrow margins at unlimited or up to 100% capacity, or however many people they can convince to come in to eat a meal, if you limit them to 50%, and some of their costs are still fixed, that's tough.
It's just like the hotel business. If you don't have that 40% occupancy every night, it doesn't pay you to open the doors. Same with restaurants. You've got to hit that magic number. But I'll tell you, only in America, these restaurants have started doing the curbside service in neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I have been going to different neighborhoods and supporting different ones. The hot dog guy was in West Mobile. Last week we went and got us a hot dog. All the neighborhoods, everybody in the neighborhood walked in to get hot dogs, and it was just a great experience. But we're Americans, we're tough. We will respond, and we'll respond in a positive way, and we'll come back to the surface.
I started looking at the line item in here for medical procedures, and it says as of April 30th at 5 p.m., dental, medical, or surgical procedures may proceed unless a state health officer or his designee determines performing such procedures or any category of them, whether statewide or regionally, would be unacceptable to reduce active. Okay, so in other words, you're saying you can open up, and I think about small businesses, think about medical facilities, think about dentist offices, and let alone people's need to go there, but at the same time, what that means, how many jobs those are associated with. So at least they're coming online at some degree.
And that's one aspect we've really overlooked. We've told hospitals what they can or can't do.
Mm-hmm.
and we've limited the amount of patients that they can actually take. And I don't sit on any hospital boards, but the people that I do know that sit on hospital boards, I mean, their cash flow has been hit tremendously. And, you know, they've had to take entire wings and devote it to this one virus, and it has to be specced out according to that. And it's all at their expense. Now, the state's not helping them, or the feds are not helping, and they have done it. They have done it. Now they want to get back to a normal life. The doctors want to do the knee replacements. You know, I asked somebody this the other day, wonder what the suicide rate for it has turned into over the last 30 days. Right, let's just say the suicide prevention hotline. I wonder what's the increase, because, you know, there's people that have got illnesses that need to be in the hospital that they're not taking in the hospital.
So hopefully those folks starting Thursday can go back in. And,
right.
But I do wonder, too, you know, we mentioned the restaurants or these other businesses, retail outlets. I like the liberty they have now to be able to open back up. I do worry how many of them will open back up if the nature of their business means they have to have a lot of people in there. Now, some don't. Some retailers, I mean, they probably never are even near their capacity. But other ones, you know, how long do they go? They're going to, I guess, lose less money than they would right now. But it's still not a fix for them at this point. It's still not, you know, back to business.
Well, you know, it may be reflected in their price. Instead of, you know, selling a steak for $12, they may have to charge $14 because they know that, you know, they, they've lost 20% of their capacity. I don't know what the magic is here. And, you know, I'm at a point, I don't care what it costs. You know, I want to go back to my briquettes and get my steak. I want to sit at their table to eat it. You know, I want, that's normalcy for me. And I think most all of us are that way.
Yeah.
But some of the businesses have done quite well through this process.
Yeah, they're,
I went to Lowe's Sunday, and that was an ant mound at best.
Yes, there are some that are busier than ever. Now, I have some comments on how we narrow down to fewer establishments. But look, that's in the background. We're going to be coming out of this on Thursday. What about the beaches? Because it's now open as of Thursday. The beaches, I'm thinking about, you know, District 3, beaches open to gatherings of fewer than 10 persons. Sounds good to me. Do you see any issue here for enforcement on that?
The virus lasts less than 1 minute in ultrasound. Ultraviolet rays.
I keep hearing contrary to that.
The best place to be is on the beach. Now, are you going to keep a bunch of teenagers of less than 10 in a group? I doubt it very seriously. I don't know how you enforce these things. It's a nice idea, but how do you enforce it? Okay, Baldwin County makes a tremendous amount of money the next 120 days.
Yep.
And it's all based on the beaches. It's also based on the restaurants. It's based on the hotels. It's based on the condos. So, you know, how do you get people to drive down from Tennessee to go to the beach unless the restaurants are open and in a condo they can, of course, you can still rent condos and stuff. I'm not insinuating that. But the restaurants play such an important role in that tourism traffic coming down here. And the state benefits more than anybody from that tourism business in Baldwin County.
Although the state, I guess, is going to be shored up by that $1.8 billion, although it looks like in a discussion I had yesterday that $1.8 billion that would come to the state could only be used for COVID-19 response. And that was a wrinkle I hadn't heard of, that it couldn't be applied to the general fund. Hey, can you hang on
sure.
to the news break?
Oh, sure. I can.
Okay.
Sure, I can.
All right. Coming right back, more with Jerry Carl. Talk about his letter to Attorney General Steve Marshall asking that a lawsuit be entered from the state of Alabama against China. Now, this came out yesterday from Jerry Carl. President was talking about it yesterday as well. Suing China? Why? On what grounds? Well, we'll ask that when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And coming up at about 105, Cam Marston and What's Working Special Edition, helping small businesses navigate this coronavirus economy. There's a lot to digest here for small businesses out there with the new Safer at Home order that starts on Thursday for the state. And we talked about that some with Mobile County Commissioner and candidate in the AL1 Republican primary runoff, Jerry Carl. And we might circle back to that, but I want to talk to you about this letter I saw that you sent to the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, asking, what, to sue China?
Yes, we sent a certified letter to the Attorney General. He got it yesterday. We got confirmation on that. And we're asking him to follow the lead that Mississippi and Missouri has already done in filing a lawsuit against the government of China. That's a communist country. Those businesses are communist-based. All the businesses feed money back into the Communist Party. And we as Americans have got to keep that in mind in dealing with them. Mississippi and Missouri attorney generals have already filed a civil suit against them looking for reimbursement. The catch is they're currently the Foreign Sovereignty Immunity Act prohibits Americans from filing lawsuits against foreign nations,
right,
except in rare circumstances. And Senator Tom Cotton and Congressman Dan Carson have filed legislation that will change that and alter that. So it'll set up for this. But you know, the biggest thing I'm trying to do is make China aware of you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. You know, the Chinese officials, they failed to take basic measures to curb, you know, the spread of the virus. They lied to us about the number of cases and the deaths in China. They were silent. They silenced their medical professionals, which could have given us tons of information in advance. They hoarded all the PPE equipment, which cut us in a very short supply, and the price almost doubled. And, you know, they continue to spread misinformation. And I think, you know, the Chinese have been if they had been more transparent, the U.S. would have been much better off in a better position to handle this
pandemic.
You know,
yes.
I'm on a roll over here. But you know, we've got to hold them accountable. The Chinese government does business in Alabama. You know, they've bought out pretty much the entire hog industry through North Carolina. I studied that over the weekend. They're huge in the chicken business. North Alabama, we're huge in chickens. I haven't figured out exactly how much of that they've bought, but I want them to be aware that we as Alabamians, we're not going to take it. They're not going to do this again. And we're not going to sit still. We may not get a dollar from it, but I want them to be on record, and they understand that we in Alabama do care.
Yeah, and I want to get back around to the whether you get a dollar or not, because that's been, you know, from when I saw this yesterday and the discussion, I said, well, I think this, if anything, would be a pyrrhic victory, because, how are you going to get the money? But we'll get into the discussion of the debt in a second. But doesn't this open it up? You talk about changing the legislation. Some out there have said, hey, you do this, now that opens up, if we change the law, this opens the United States up to be sued by Suriname or, you know, Afghanistan or wherever, China, sue us. I mean, if we start doing that.
If we don't do anything, it will happen again. And that was what pushed me to do this. It has to be done through the state attorney general. That's where it'll be the most effective. And the Chinese companies that are going to do business in Alabama, they need to be put and be made aware. We will hold them responsible.
Okay. So this lawsuit then would ask in damages, does it have a given number here?
I have not written it. I mean, obviously that's the attorney general's job, is to, you know, to write that first to determine if he wants to do it or not, and that's certainly his call. But and then secondly, start writing. I was talking to one attorney about it, and he says, oh my gosh, I'd love to write that, because you could sue him for everything, you know.
Yeah.
It's just about unlimited. But you know, you start looking at our food supply chain here in America. You know, I know people that work in the hog industry that actually went to school for that, and that's a huge business. Well, they've taken it over.
Well, okay, they take it. So we kick them out of it. We seize their property here. I mean, how would you do that?
I don't know if seize their property is the right idea. I think if we should start forcing them to be a little more responsible. You know, I'm not huge into tariffs, but tariffs are needed. I mean, they're growing the hogs here. They're slaughtering the hogs here. They're actually shipping them back to China to be processed and then shipping back over here to be sold. And from a business standpoint, I don't. That's That's I don't know how they can do that, but they do it. They're doing the same thing with the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as Americans, we've got to quit being so dependent on other countries, and we've got to quit putting all the dependency on one country. Because, you know, what China does, we do have other alternatives. You know, we've got a lot of Oriental countries that we're very friendly with that do not have a history of stealing our technology. Well, and those are the ones we need to focus on doing some business with.
Well, I think we've seen some of that. I know that when we first got in the tariff battle, we had a couple of, I think President Trump went to a meeting in Vietnam. We've had, you know, maybe some better relations with Vietnam and others that could be a player in that as well. But then at the same time, China's going to find somebody else to buy their stuff, right?
Not necessarily, no. I disagree with that. They're not going to find somebody to buy their stuff. They may find somebody to buy their stuff much cheaper. You know, that's something they use that same mentality on oil. If you think about it, you know, we have to. Now that we've become self-sufficient on oil, you know, it's quit being such a crisis for American. It's more European based now. So I think the same way here. We need to, as a business community, we got to wake up and say, okay, we can do that here. We can do it here. Let's move those jobs back here. If not, let's find a friendly country that we can work with, and let's help them.
All right.
Somebody that's going to steal all of our technology.
What's the next step? What are you waiting to hear from the will the AG's office say, yes, I'm going to do this? How does that work, Jerry?
He may send me some information back. He may send me a form letter saying, you know, we have received your information. I've done this with the president two or three times, sent ideas and stuff up there that I've requested. I may or may not get. He's certainly bound by no law to answer me, but it certainly, and I did it as an individual. I didn't do it as a county commissioner. I certainly didn't do it as a candidate for Congress. I did it as an individual because I'm worried about the individuals in the state of Alabama. I want China to understand that we have drawn a line in the sand and there's no more crossing it.
There we go. Jerry Carl, thanks for your time, Commissioner Carl, and we'll be talking to you again real soon.
Thank you.
And find out more on this lawsuit against China. So Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary, Jerry Carl, joining us here on Midday Mobile. All right, we've got, I want to do this. Heads up, Cam Martian's coming on in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about small business and, of course, a lot of people asking questions with this new Safer at Home order out there. But one of those small businesses that's been creative, has been open, has been doing this the whole time since things changed here in the state, are the folks at Mobile Bay Coins. And my friend Angelo is joining us now. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, Sean, how's it going today?
It's going good. And by the way, too, just side note real fast. Cool. I really appreciated you getting the Open L knives up on the website. So I thought that was cool. Out of all the thousands of cool items you'll have, I'm into those knives. They're awesome.
Well, you and me both, and a lot of people don't realize how cool they are, how classic they are. That company has been around now 130 years, still building products in their factory in France, employing people. I know it's not an American product, but it is a French product with the same mindset I think a lot of us have. You know, keep your money within your community. And I love selling the knives. I love the quality of them. And it just took all of this craziness to get me off my butt and get them on the website.
Hey, talk to us about the gold and silver and precious metals. What's going on at the store?
Yeah, gold is still high, still hovering over $1,700 an ounce. Silver is hovering around $15. A lot of people are looking at all the things that are going on and all the money that is being not even printed, but just sort of being, you know, drafted into people's bank accounts. And they're wondering, when's the bill going to come due? So people have been really stockpiling a lot of gold and silver over the last few weeks.
All right. Tell people how to find you.
We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can call us, 725-1590, or go online to mobilebaycoins.com or check us out on Facebook.
Angelo, it's always been. I appreciate what y'all are doing, and we'll come see you soon.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins, and we're coming right back. It's What's Working Special Edition with Cam Marston.